lesson. I kept rereading the Bible verse of the week. It speaks to us about dominion. We read that God gave it to us. It is from God. Now, since God is spirit, I concluded that what would be of God would have a spiritual nature. It could be no other way. In the book of Genesis, we are told that God gave us dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. We read this passage, and we interpret it to mean that we were given dominion over everything that exists on this earth plane. We want to know more about that and exactly how does it work. Well, we begin to think about this and how it relates to us in a personal way. So we begin to study and consider the word dominion. Now, the dictionary tells us that dominion means supreme authority. Well, God gave it to us, so we can agree with that. Surely this means that God meant for us to be in control and in charge of absolutely anything and everything that comes our way. And as we work with this idea, we may even begin to get a little puffed up with this power that we are certain is ours, ready to use it or abuse it in whatever way we deem appropriate. But before we get too carried away with what we consider our authority and our power, we must also understand that the dominion we were given is personal control over us. We were given control over us, over our consciousness, over our actions and our reactions, our thoughts, our concepts, our views, and our ideas. We were given the ability to change our minds, and we do so as an individual act of consciousness. We were not given dominion over another human being and how he conducts himself. It's really not possible for us to attempt to fix him or correct him. Trying to make him into our mental and physical image and likeness. From time to time, we may have tried to change someone else. Perhaps it was a friend or a spouse or a child. Well, we all know how that turned out. So we go back to us. What does the Bible verse mean to us individually? Now, at first, we may reason in this way. If we were given control over all things, then that means that we can determine what our experience will be. Having authority and control, being in charge, well, that would allow us to fill all of our hopes, dreams, and desires that we entertain about us in a personal way. Unlimited power is given to us. Surely God must have meant for us to use it to improve us, our quality of life, and then everything in it. And we determined that we will do so. But thinking in this way means that we have ignored a very important part of that Bible verse. We have neglected to consider to whom the dominion was given. The Bible verse was quite clear. Let us make man in our image and after our own likeness, and let him have dominion. Dominion was not given to the mental thought that manipulates and plans and plots, or to the human being who is just concerned about his daily needs. It was given to the one made in God's image and after his likeness. That would be our spiritual self. You know, that one of eternal life, Christ. Not that man of flesh and blood that walks this earth plane, working with his physical mind and his mental power. Remember what we were told. All work is done by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now it is true that there are laws that govern the mental level of being. And then there are laws that govern the physical plane of being. While they have power in their own realm of existence, they are both subservient to the supreme authority given by God to his beloved child, Christ, the spiritual self. We must never forget that God really is the only power. There is none else. When we give power to a mental thought or something out here, we are making a God out of it, and God is not pleased. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now in Scripture, placing power out here in form or effect, it's called idolatry. When we give power to a mental or physical law, could it be said that we are committing idolatry? We identify ourselves as I. There is an I that we call Mary or Bill or whatever your name happens to be. This is the one assigned to the personality. But I is not your personality, neither is it your body, nor is it your mind. Your body and your mind are merely the instruments through which you perform your functions on this earth plane. For instance, your mind is the instrument through which your being thinks. Those intellectual thoughts, reasons, knows, makes decisions and judgments. It is used for any purpose of awareness. Now, your body, on the other hand, is the physical instrument, and it usually obeys what the mind thinks about it or tells it what to do. If you wish to raise your hand, you, through your mind, tell it what to do, and then it obeys. I, the Supreme Self, governs my mind, and then my mind instructs my body. So think this through. Therefore, I has dominion over both my mind and my body. Now this I that has dominion over the mind and the body, it is not the one known as Barry or Bill. So let us go back to this I that was given dominion. Read the chapter again. Suppose I do not exercise that dominion given to me by God in the beginning, that one that was described in the book of Genesis. If I do not exert control over my mind and just let it make its own decisions, or if I let my body control its own conduct, I will soon find myself in a great deal of trouble. Now we have noticed this pattern in other individuals, those who have not learned to accept and exercise their power. Your mind and your body, as well as your dominion over them, were given to you, and you must learn to exercise that dominion. Now, when we live in the world primarily according to human awareness, we really do not have God in our lives. And we certainly don't know us as that one made in His image and of His likeness. Yes, we read the verse in the Bible, but we can't really relate to what is applying to us. Anything and everything that we accept becomes a power in our experience. Whatever we accept to be so becomes so unto us according to our belief. This is law. Like produces like. As in mind, so in manifestation. Now, if we were to develop an emotional faith in something or other, we can make it a God unto us, a law and a power. And we can assure ourselves that we will enjoy or suffer the consequences. God has given us the fruit of the spiritual nature. And when this fruit seems to be missing, it simply means that we have stepped outside our true identity, following the lure of the human behavior, giving power where it does not belong. Now, I think that we get into the most trouble when it concerns our thoughts. What are we thinking? We remind ourselves that we are the thinker. That means that we are greater than our thoughts. And intellectually, we understand that we have the power to decide what to think, what to invite into and entertain in consciousness, which means that, yes, we are in charge. Now, surely we can do a better job at being in charge. Now, as many of you know, Lillian D. Waters is one of my favorite authors, and she has a different way of considering thought. She said that we are told to watch our thoughts, but she has discovered that if she watches God to the exclusion of all else, that her thoughts take care of themselves. Well, you know, we would like that, I think. It all seems quite reasonable. And we would love to be able to do that. Sometimes we weary ourselves with our thoughts. But then, at some point in time, life happens. And we are caught off guard. And once again, we find us trying to think our way through it. Only this time, we got ourselves into a little bit of trouble. We have no clue how or what to think. Life as we knew it, well, is falling apart. And we are left to pick up the pieces of what used to be. And we definitely are not in charge. Our thoughts are all over the place, thinking of anything and everything that can go wrong. Well, we have left God out of the picture. We are living in that far country, separate and apart from His divine presence. And we find us wandering in the wilderness of confusion and uncertainty. And if we continue in this way, we form habits. Habits of thought. And there are times when we may find us in some very dark places. This is an example of what happens when we do not exert control over our thoughts. An individual calls me from time to time. Now, her pattern of response is to react to all experience with fear and concern. She's basically anxious and apprehensive. And so we talk a great deal about the need to control, to understand that there is a solution to any problem that we may have, an answer to any question that we may have. So there's no need to be so fearful. And so I talked to her about that Bible verse, about the dominion that was given to Christ, and let her understand that that's who she is. But so far, this doesn't always seem to be working. She called me one night at 11:45. Yes, 11:45. Because she had an emergency. Now keep in mind that she resides in an assisted living facility, one that is equipped to handle her needs. Her emergency was that her tooth had fallen out. Now my response was, "That's it? Your tooth fell out?" So we talked a little bit about what might constitute an emergency. The house is on fire. This is an emergency. Call the fire department. There's been an accident. This is an emergency. Call the appropriate authorities. Now, her tooth falling out, that certainly was annoying, I'm sure. Definitely an inconvenience. However, in no stretch of the imagination could it be described as an emergency. But you know, really, that was not the issue. The issue was her response, her willingness to give power to anything and everything she feels she's unable to handle. This continues to be our conversation. Everything is a problem, and you know, problems do bring fear and anxiety. And this is what happens when we allow our thoughts to dictate our response. I wish I could help her in some way. This constant state of fear has consequences that affect her physical and mental health. Now, to me, the only way out of a pattern of thought is to claim that dominion over it. Remember, the physical and mental realms of being are subservient to that spiritual self, obeying its command to be still and know that God is the only power. Now, if we continue to work from that identity of Mary or Bill or whatever your name is, we will continue to look at the problem every which way, considering this or that, hoping that our intellect and experience will come to our rescue. Well, there's got to be a better way. It is now time to return to the Bible verse. We seem to have no trouble understanding that God gave us dominion. It's quite clear. The challenge for us is to learn how to accept and exercise this authority. It's not that we don't have it. It's just that we don't seem to know how to access it. But remember, God gave dominion to the one made in his image and of his likeness, and that would be Christ. So Christ is the only one who can claim it. That mental thought would not have a clue what to do. Where do we know us as Christ? That's where we need to be. Well, a good place to start is a state of meditation. Divine science gives us lessons in life, but for them to be made meaningful to us, we must make them personal. We must incorporate them into our daily way of life. Now, today I am discussing dominion. We assume dominion through meditation. It is there that the work gets done. You see, in the stillness, we are alone with God. It is the Christ child communing with his Father. And we hear This is my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. And at that moment, there was no other identity or anything assigned to it. It is here that we observe authority over the mental and physical aspects of life. Now, at first, they may not want to accept our authority over them. They may not want to obey our commands. Because you see, as I pointed out earlier, there are laws that govern the mental realm, and there are laws that rule the physical aspect of being. And up until now, they have followed the dictates of those laws, obeying their commands and instruction. But now we're asking them to follow a different set of rules, to give up that identity and follow the one of inner direction. This is what I mean. When we sit in meditation, our mind may not wish to be still and come under control. Not because it has a will of its own, but because it has been accustomed to doing what it wants, if we have not been assuming power over it. So the mind has its own way with us, unless we exercise dominion over it. Now the body, it obeys a little more readily than the mind. I mean, the hand will not steal unless we tell it to do so, nor will it share unless we instruct it to do so. Now, when it comes to health, sometimes the body is trying to control, telling us we are sick or we are well, reminding us that we are of a certain age and well, things happen. But this is because up until now, this is how the mind and the body have functioned, getting our attention, drawing our awareness to form and condition. Let us get back to meditation. It is there that we quietly and gently address our minds. You'll find your own way, but perhaps this way. Be still. Fear not. God is in the midst of you. There's no need for you to wander all over the place. Dear mind, do not use your thought to determine what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you shall put on. Your function is to be an avenue of awareness, to become aware of that still small voice, you know, the one that is your true guidance and direction. And then we ask the mind to please just be still. Do not weary yourself over this or that. You will be called upon to make decisions and determinations, but at that time, the answer will be given to you, all without you giving thought. Do you see what we are doing here? Christ is your authority to speak in this way. Christ does not do battle. Christ reminds the mind and the body. They are servants. They are instruments of God. And when they assume this new role, they discover that every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is the law unto them. They now have a new law that governs them. Now, the body generally takes its direction from the mind, so when you take control and exert authority over your mind, the body will not need so much attention. However, I do find it helpful to talk to the body, reminding that it doesn't have a life of its own. I might begin in this way. I remind him about life. God is life. There is but one life. God is the life of the body, the life of the heart, the liver, and the lungs. God's invisible activity beats the heart and pumps the blood. It grows hair and fingernails. Dear body, you are wonderfully made, but you do not function on your own. God lives you and moves you. It is that mental thought that used to tell you to age and decay, to get sick and die. But you no longer come under the influence of the mind. When you come under God's laws, you no longer fall victim to the direction of misguided thought. The purpose of today's lesson is to realize that we have been given dominion over our mind, over our body and our consciousness, dominion over every outside thing and condition. Let us choose this day to accept and exercise this power. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and give recognition to Christ, that one made in his image and of his likeness. Authority is given to the spiritual being. We are that being. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, let us remind ourselves that we are in the presence of God. Right where we are, God is. Right where we stand is holy ground. The kingdom is in us, and we carry God with us as an activity of individual consciousness. And we are never alone. In our time of meditation, we enter the stillness and we keep silent in his presence. We are one with the activity of all life. It is this activity that rules the physical might and the mental thought. It is by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. All glory is given to God, for there is none else. It is the eye of spiritual being, the one of God, that claims dominion over all things. We are the one of spirit, Christ, the one of the holy birth. And now we understand, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. Be still and know that this is so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.